Joining us right now at PMP Network is Fabian. You remember the great music of Fabian from the 50s and early 60s. He's been around for a long time. He's done 30 films and a number of other things, and his career is still happening with Fabian's Good Time Rock and Roll Show. And you know, it's amazing. I'm amazed by nostalgia and the fact that people always want to bring, you know, the people that they grew up with them, to make them feel the same age as they used to be. I know that I'm a big 60s rock and roll fan, and I love seeing all the music from the 60s. You know, going to see the Grassroots or something is a thrill for me, and talking to them. So it must be kind of fun for you. Not only do you see folks who are fans of yours at your concert, but you also probably see their kids as well.
Exactly. The people that come to see the shows, sounds corny, but it's like a big reunion. We all kind of survived. We've all been through many different things together. We're still around. And the connection... Shut up, Mac. I'll give you something in the... That's my big boy. And we all have one thing in, you know, common, and that's the music. And people remember... They want to go back to a certain time in their life, a certain girl, a certain guy in their life, a certain mood or something. And our songs bring them back.
Right. Now, do they bring you back as well, or eventually do you get tired of playing them?
You know, the only thing I get tired of, I got to be honest with you, is traveling.
Yeah.
The shows are a pleasure because of the audience and the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I have no problem with performing and doing the same song over and over and again. It sounds kind of weird, but you know, when you see the people's reaction, they kind of make it fresh for you.
Right, but the travel, getting to and from things, is difficult.
Well, you know, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
You
know. Now, who are some of the folks that are on your Good Time Rock and Roll Show that you've been using?
Well, it varies. You know, it all depends who's available. I worked a lot with Lou Christie. I worked a lot with Charlie Thomas, the Drifters. I worked a lot with Bobby Rydell. I worked a lot with Chubby Checker.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the girl groups.
I know that you travel around, and you have. I've seen you with Frankie Avalon and Bobby Rydell as the Golden Boys. That's a separate show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still doing that now?
Well, we've cut back quite a bit because we've done like 600 shows.
That's amazing.
But we're still, next year we're in Atlantic City. I don't have my itinerary.
I know you do. You do Vegas.
We're doing about 8 or 9 or 10 shows.
Yeah. You usually do Caesar's Palace and Desert Inn in Atlantic City and Vegas, right?
Hilton in Atlantic City.
Hilton in Atlantic City.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they can see you there. They're checking it out. They can check with their hotel and see if you're going to be there.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there in March for sure.
Yeah.
Next year.
How's the voice nowadays?
Fine. I don't pay it no mind. You know, I got a great 4.5 notes. I don't mess with it.
Yeah, now, the people, do you find that they're screaming for Turn Me Loose or Tiger? What songs seem to be the ones that they scream the most for?
Tiger, and number one is Turn Me Loose.
Yeah.
And then Tiger. Then there's some songs that I don't do which I really should do. From my first film, Hound Dog Man, they like that title song.
Yeah.
And they also like the ballad from there called This Friendly World.
Uh-huh. But you don't usually do those songs at your concerts?
Not usually, because in Fabian's Good Time Rock and Roll, I don't do a whole hour show.
Uh-huh.
I do like 20, 25, 30 minutes.
So how many songs is that? Maybe 5, 6?
That's about 6 or 7, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you obviously do, you do Turn Me Loose and Tiger at all your shows.
And I'm a Man, which was my first hit.
Right.
Written by Mort Schumann and Doc Pomus, as was Turn Me Loose. Sorry about my friend here. I'm giving him more bonies here.
Okay. Eat,
Max. Eat, eat.
Yeah, now, Hunt Dog Man was with Carol Lindley, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I always liked her. She's a sexy
very,
woman.
Very, very, very bright, classy young lady.
Yeah.
And now a more mature lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever see her at all?
I haven't seen her in 20 years.
Yeah.
Or 15 years.
Now,
I moved out of California, so so you, I don't run in those circles anymore.
I understand. You know, you have this great, reputation as a nice, clean-cut guy, touring. But I remember when you played some homicidal maniac on a TV show.
Bob Altman directed that.
Yeah, that's right, Robert Altman.
It was the first show.
A Lion Walks Among Us.
Yeah, it was the first show that ever went on TV without any commercials.
Really?
Yep. They thought, because a teenage idol type person was playing a murderer, mm-hmm. who got away with it. He got away with it at the end. They wouldn't be the right, so no advertiser would come near it.
Really? That's interesting.
I'm not that nice and clean cut, by the way.
Well, I mean, you may not be, but your reputation is. That's all that counts.
I know.
You've acted, you talk about Carol Lindley. You've acted with some other amazing people. Talk about some of the people, like John Wayne. You acted with him, right?
Oh, yeah. John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Tuesday Weld, Bing Crosby, great directors like Henry Hathaway, Don Siegel.
Jack Palance and George Siegel, Karen Black,
exactly.
A lot of these people.
Peter Lorre, Red Buttons, Barbara Eden, some great, great, great people.
Tell me a little bit about working with like John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart, for instance.
Well, two entirely different people. John Wayne, when we did North Alaska, could care less about North Alaska. He had his own money in the Alamo that he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And he had a contract obligation to do North to Alaska. To make a long story kind of shortish, he just showed up, and he was nice to me, and he's, what you see is what you get. John Wayne is John Wayne. You know what I mean? His reputation is intact. he kind of, like me, I was a young guy, he knew I was trying my best, so he helped me out, and he was great.
Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, entirely different human being. He actually rehearsed with you. He cared about your well-being. He took personal interest in your life. Tried to give you advice. A real salt of the earth kind of guy, And I think that shows up in his career.
Yeah.
I'm
interested in Tuesday Weld because I was a huge fan of the Dobie Gillis show. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, played Thalia Menninger on the show, who attracted Warren Beatty and Dwayne Hickman as Dobie. So.
No, I know.
What was it like working with Tuesday? I assume
Tuesday,
it was around...
Tuesday Weld, in my estimation, first of all, I love her. I think she's a great human being. The most underrated, in my eyes... actress. She was like Diane Lane. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she's just an incredible. And in the beginning, she was way ahead of her time. She was a very forward-thinking, bright kind of girl. Took no gruff from anybody, and I loved it. You know?
Yeah.
Especially if we're talking about late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
This girl was totally in control of her life.
So now, did you work with her around the time of Dobie, or was it later?
Well, we were both on the contract to Fox, so it was around the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you a Dobie Gillis fan at all?
No, not really.
No?
I mean, I love Tuesday Weld, and I like the people on the show.
Yeah.
But, when I was on the road in the beginning, when those shows were on, I did like 45 one-nighters 3 times a year.
Yeah, so you really didn't have much time to watch TV.
I didn't get much time to watch TV.
Mm.
What
was it like in those days? I mean, you had such a dizzying height of success. I mean, at 15, you were already an award winner, and by the time you were 18, you were having hit songs all over the place. Was it too much too soon?
Oh yeah, of course. My only regret, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful and all that. My only regret is that I wish I was a little older. I wish I knew more.
Yeah.
I wish I had a little more experience. I wish.
Yeah.
But too bad, it certainly worked out for me.
What was it like for a teenage kid to be such a success? Did you have women all over you?
Yes.
And did you know what to do?
Yes. I mean, what I mean by yes is I was just a human being.
I understand that part of it. But, I mean, I think that there's this danger out there, too, when you have that situation, because in terms of a relationship, it's impossible to feed into one when you have...
Well, my problem was when I really met somebody, and even if it was just like for a night and nothing, just talking,
mm-hmm.
and I got a chance to really like them, most times I never saw them again.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
Yeah.
Because I never got to establish any kind of long-term relationship.
Yeah, it's hard to have roots if you're just moving all the time.
Roots is the word, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was a problem, you know. But, you know, I was like a kid in a candy store, too. You know, I can't kid you about that.
Yeah, the only problem that I've seen, and I've interviewed thousands of people on the show, is when you've reached a dizzying height, you do have to fall eventually.
Oh, yeah, I've fallen 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, well, talk about the first time when you're really young and all of a sudden things dry up.
Well, how do you handle it? Not well.
Yeah.
Because there's no school. I mean, I was going to open up a school for ex-teen idols. and try to say, hey, things do not last forever. You have to have other things to do, other things that interest you. But it's so intoxicating, that highs that you have,
mm-hmm.
that a normal kind of situation, which I've learned to live with, of course, can get quote-unquote boring.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, and I would assume that life is just, especially after that first plateau,
right,
is to try to get back up the mountain again.
Exactly. And the people, and I kind of hate saying this, but the people around me, or even though they were 10 years older, managers and all that,
mm-hmm.
they were still young.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what the hell they were doing either.
But did I mean...
So the counseling wasn't there.
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, most of the people that you have around you, and it's true today, too. I mean, you got managers, you got agents, you have accountants,
lawyers,
you know, lawyers. All these people are just getting a piece of you, but they don't really have a personal interest besides the money, for the most part. Those days are gone. So, I mean, the only people who are interested in hanging with people like yourself that are around now, I mean, I'm talking about teenagers now, teen idols now, are the people who are trying to make money off them. Once they're not hot anymore, they just drop them like a hotcake and go to the next hot guy.
Where do they try calling them 10 years from now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's you know, but isn't that true in the corporate world, too, though?
I think you're right. I think it is.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just human nature. People are basically looking out for themselves and their families. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I understand that. You know, but I was a little angry in my mid-20s.
Yeah, I think of all the things I've done for people, and they turn around and they don't say thanks, and they screw you at the end. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it happens in everything.
Right.
And it's kind of disheartening, but I guess it's the reality of the world.
I hate to say it, but I think so. You know, I guess the bottom line is, even though you're successful, and thank God I've done well, and lots of your audience has, but life really isn't fair.
No.
You know?
No.
And it's what you make of it. You know, I'm no philosopher or anything, but age puts some, you know, perspective on things.
Mm. Did you ever get married?
This is my third marriage, man.
How old were you when you got married for the first time?
Let me see. Late 20s.
So it was probably too early to get married at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So now the third one, are you on that still, or is that gone too?
Oh, no. My third one is 5 years old.
Oh, okay. So.
And I'm not going anywhere with this one.
So that's good. So that's a keeper.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And did you have any kids out of any of these marriages?
My first marriage, I have 2 children.
Yeah.
My son is 34. He's a screenwriter.
Really?
And, yeah. And, yeah, his first film was with Kevin Spacey, Albino Alligator.
Oh, okay.
And Julie is an animator. And she's worked for, you know, people like Disney and...
Wow. You know, so both of them...
...and things like that.
Both of them inherited an artistic talent.
Well, Well, I'm glad they're not in the performing end.
Yeah.
But it's equally as difficult on the other end.
I think it's a little easier behind the scenes, where at least your face...
Well, you can hide.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in my day, I couldn't hide.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when every single magazine on the newsstand has a picture of Fabian on it, it's hard to be Fabian.
You know, I don't even know who the hell he is.
Well, you yourself, as a person,
yeah,
were not the person that the people thought that you were, because you can't be.
There's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, you know, Madonna is out there. Everybody, you know, has pictures of Madonna. Madonna is not like that. In fact, the real Madonna is coming out. You know, the one that's writing children's books.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, this is the real Fabian. What was the real Fabian as opposed to the Fabian people saw on all the newsstands?
Basically, shy, at times very insecure, at times... I hate to admit it, but a little belligerent at times, you know?
Yeah.
And a guy who likes to work with his hands, likes to dig in the dirt, loves green, you know.
But I assume that when you were on stage, you were as comfortable as you were at home.
I was comfortable at home, you say?
Yeah, were you comfortable on the stage as well? I mean, was that a...
No, not in the first 2 or 3 years. No.
Oh, really?
No, not really at all. It was kind of frenetic. It was so fast.
Yeah.
Putting a big show together and all that. It was more like, how am I going to remember all this?
Now, when you were 15...
I couldn't hear the band half the time because of the screaming.
When you were 15, you won an award, a silver award, for the most promising male vocalist of 1958.
How the hell did that happen?
Well, I mean, there's the expectation. Then all of a sudden, in a few years, you've got dozens of hit singles, mm-hmm, and 8 albums, gold records, and all this stuff. 18 years old.
Right.
What is there at that point for you to look forward to?
Movies. That's where I got out of the singing business when I was 18 or 19 years old.
Was the movie business as good as you had hoped it would be in your dreams?
In the first 10 years was.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like an ingenue growing up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, things didn't work out exactly how I'd hoped. But now, in retrospect, when I think about it, it's how could have it been? I was so pigeonholed as such a one kind of guy. And once those phases pass, you know, and new people come up, there's no way you could have competed.
Mm.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Or given the chance to. And it's not a complaint, by the way.
No, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. Very few people, like Ron Howard, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I had another problem when I had to go back to singing. I was divorced. I had 2 children to raise. I wanted to make sure they were secure.
Right.
So I had to leave the acting end of it and be on the road for 200 days out of the year.
Which is difficult on the kids and the family and the wife.
Well, I had to take care of business.
Yeah.
And my first business is the family.
Right.
Just like why I got in the business. I only got in the business because my father couldn't work anymore. And some guy asked me if I'd like to sing.
Really?
That's it. I never sang in my life. Never had any aspirations for being in show business. All my contemporaries, God bless them, that's all they ever wanted to do was be in show business.
Hmm.
Me, I wanted to be a civil engineer.
Well, maybe God had a different plan.
Well, I took care of my family, and I think that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my father lived another 20 years, thank God. And then all of a sudden I had my own family to take care of.
Mm.
I had two younger brothers, too, I had to take care of.
You know, it's amazing to me to look back on the 50s and 60s. For me, when I look at the mid to late 60s, that's when I grew up. That's all the music I remember. And it makes me feel young. But then I look at the mirror and I see a guy that's 50 years old. You're around 60 now, aren't you?
I'll be 61 next February, and I avoid mirrors.
But when you look in the mirror, when you sing the music on stage, I assume you don't feel 60. You must still feel a 20.
I don't feel, no. I don't feel, see, I don't know what that 60 means, because my head hasn't changed that much, and neither is yours.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always that, I don't know, that inner energy that, it's like the Bob Seger song, Fire Inside.
Mm-hmm.
You always have that fire inside.
Right.
I don't think we're going to lose that.
When we do lose it, we're done.
Well, I think you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, but that fire inside, I don't think is going to leave any of us. We always want to do something. We always, you know, want to accomplish something else, make the family more secure or whatever it is. And on stage, and if the band's cooking, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Mm.
I mean, I can't tell you how good a feeling it is.
Now, how old are the guys in the band that you play with?
They vary from 25 to my age.
Yeah, now the guy that's 25, did he have any idea of how big that you were and are? I assume that when you go play somewhere, I'll bet you the women still scream out there.
Some do, yeah, some do. But to answer your question about the younger people.
Yeah.
The people in the music business kind of know because everybody tells them.
Right.
Somebody in college, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to know.
Yeah, unless someone tells them.
And someone tells them, and they'll go, well, geez, it wasn't that corny.
Yeah, you know, the only disappointment I have here in terms of your music is the fact that I haven't been able to find it out there anywhere. We called around to try to get some stuff to play on the show.
There's no compilations?
There's nothing.
Oh, well, where are you?
We're in Boston.
In Boston? You've got to be kidding.
No,
well,
I mean,
there's compilations albums out there.
Who put them out? Because
MCA bought the record company, and they do it.
Yeah.
And then there's another company in London who does it.
Because we called around to the majors to see if anybody had one. And
nothing in the oldies band, huh?
No. It was, like, amazing to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it makes me kind of feel old.
Well, see, the thing is, though, that you have your own website. Are you selling your own CDs on the site?
I really don't pay much attention to that. Yes, I think we do.
Because I want to send people over there to Fabian Forte, F-O-R-T-E.
FabianForte.com.
Yeah.
The website really wasn't a commercial enterprise. It was really more of like an information website.
Yeah.
Have you been to it?
I have, yeah. Yeah, it's really kind of cool. It's some great, great photos on the site of you and like everybody in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a good job on it, but it wasn't mainly a commercial enterprise. It was like, hey, you know, this is what Fabian has kind of done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's really cool stuff in here, like magazine covers and,
right,
you know, all the records. The Golden Boys has their own little section here.
Right.
It's very well done, actually.
Yes, Aurora Woodruff did it, and she did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I like it. And for folks who are Fabian fans, what's coming up? You mentioned in March, maybe Vegas and Atlantic City, but...
Well, I have a two-hour PBS special coming on in December.
Really?
Yep. I don't know when exactly it's going to hit your local area. And it's, Chris Montez and I'm trying to think of all the people on it. Jan and Dean.
How are they doing?
They're retiring. This is going to be their last year.
Really?
Yeah.
How are they feeling?
Well, Jan's not too well.
Yeah.
You know, but Dean's great.
Yeah. Yeah, Dean Torrance has been doing well, but Jan's had a lot of problems.
Well, he's, you know, he has to perform in a wheelchair, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, and he's one of the, you know, they did the score of one of the better surfing films called Ride the Wild Surf.
Right, that's right.
And they did all the music for that. And
yeah,
then right after that, he had that horrible accident.
Yeah, that was, it's amazing that he lived through that.
I know.
But he was never the same, though.
No, never. The same, no.
You know, I just found out, I as I get my information sent to me over here, that you actually, we talk about your third marriage. You actually married a former Miss Pennsylvania and Miss West Virginia?
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I got lucky, you know.
And she's a good businesswoman, too. She owns a talent agency.
She is. Well, see, I love the fact that somebody does their own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's quite a human being. You know. And why she's with me, I have no idea.
Because you're a cool guy.
Yeah, right.
That's why. You know, for folks out there who might be planning to do a festival or something where they want to hire somebody, I believe, is it Lustig Talent that you go through? They can go through them?
No, my manager, Oscar Arslanian.
Okay. They can't get through Lustig Talent or Mars Talent or some one of these other companies?
Yeah, Mars is okay.
Yeah.
You know, Mars is okay. But
MarsTalent.com
is the
site for them.
Right.
So if folks want to book Fabian, you can just go to...
Oh, yeah, well, we do lots of corporate dates, you know.
Yeah.
And lots of other dates.
You coming down to the Boston area at all?
Not next year. It's not on the schedule that I remember, you know.
Do you ever do the circus tents, the South Shore Music Circus?
Absolutely.
Cape Cod Melody Tent?
We did that with Golden Boys many times.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think I saw you over there once.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah. But I was just wondering if you were doing it again.
I'd like to, we'll see. I mean, I never know what's coming up.
Yeah, I think if someone said to you when you were 18, Fabian, they said, "Hey, you think you'll be up there on the stage when you're 60?" I said, "What are you, nuts?"
Yeah, it's really kind of a weird thing when you think about it, it's 40 odd years, okay? 45 years.
Mm.
Yes. That's kind of incredible. How many people can do? I mean, how many people? I wonder about all the great people that are out there today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the great teenage groups and girls and stuff like that. If that's going to be that way 45 years, I hope it is, you know, for them. The people that we grew up with are very loyal people. I just hope the people of today are still as loyal, you know.
Well, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Well,
and for folks out there who want to continue knowing all about Fabian, you can go to Fabian's site. It's Fabian, FabianForte.com. And if you want to book Fabian, you can go to MarsTalent.com on the web.
Yeah.
And it's really nice talking to you. And I hope that one day you'll be back out here in Boston. We can meet for lunch or something.
I'd love that. Thanks a lot.
All right, you take care of yourself.
I like talking to people who know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I enjoy this. I enjoy the music, and I try to keep it alive out here to the 9 million people who listen to PNPNetwork.com.
Well, bless you, man.
All right, take care. It was nice to talk to you.
Rock on.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.